Good morning, church. My name's Ben. I've got the great joy of being one of the student ministers here at St. James, and the great joy of just for a few minutes bringing us back to this Easter words from Jesus. It's been 2 weeks since my wife and I have been at church here at St. James. We've been having a really hard time. We've been up on the Gold Coast. And it's really interesting when you come, we've never been to the Gold Coast before, and it's interesting when you come into a new place and just notice what's the same and what's a little bit different. It was fascinating as we went to the beach, and as we noticed, what was the norm? It was to have tan skin, toned muscles, dyed hair, even the blokes, and the ladies all had their nails done. You know, I've got some Italian heritage. I'm not used to being the pastiest person in the room, but Gold Coast is another place. And to make that life possible, well, there has to be beauty clinics and gyms in every suburb. It's interesting coming in as an outsider and just noticing little glimpses that show what people are living for. What is the life that they're working towards, and what's the path that they're taking to get there? And I wonder if we flip things around and someone from the Gold Coast came and stayed with us in Menangle for a week, what little glimpses might they get about the life that we're living for? The things that we spend our money on, the things that we talk about, the things that we dream about, what little glimpses might there be about the life that we're living for and the path that we're taking to get there? One day in the Gold Coast, I had a conversation with a man named Herman. He'd grown up in the Netherlands in a Roman Catholic family, and he'd immigrated to Australia. And he hadn't been to church for 50 years, but he said that that was okay because he's already on the path to life. When I asked him a bit, what does he mean by that? He said, basically, I keep the Ten Commandments as long as I'm a nice guy and don't cause a fuss, then God will accept me one day and I'll be going to heaven. And the question for Herman is that the right path to life? Is that the path that you're on? Is that the path that I'm on? Is that the path that we should be on? Keep the Ten Commandments, be a nice guy, don't cause much trouble, and one day God's going to accept you into heaven. And if I could ask you a bit more personally, what is the path to life that you're currently on? What is the life that you're hoping to achieve? And how are you going about to make sure that you're going to get that? This Easter, we have the wonderful opportunity just to stop for a moment, just to pause from our regular running and to listen to a few words from Jesus. These words from John chapter 12 that we just heard read, they come just from a day before Jesus is hung up on that cross. And in these short words, Jesus says some profound truths about the path to life. Not just life here and now, life with God. That's what Jesus is talking about. And it's a paradoxical path. There's a twist. It's not the path that you'd expect, firstly for Jesus, but then he also says, what is the path that you must take? So if you've got your Bibles, have a look at verse 23, John 12, 23. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." All throughout the book of John, we're waiting for this hour, and now it's come for Jesus to be glorified. How will he be glorified? Well, in the immediate context, you think, well, he's now reached international fame. Not only is everyone in Jerusalem flocking to him, even some Greeks are coming. His peak of his fame, is that how he's going to be glorified? Well, no. the very next verse, Jesus says, the path to glory, the path to life actually comes through dying. Have a look at the very next verse. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus, he compares himself to a grain of wheat, and he compares us to a great harvest that can come. He says, while the grain lives, it's in a happy time, it's having a good time, but the earth remains barren. But if this packet is opened, if a seed is taken out and he's planted in the ground, he's metaphorically dies, well, then there can be a great harvest. That's the image that Jesus used. Jesus says that he is like this little grain of wheat, that if he lives, he's okay, but none of us can have life with God. But if he comes out of his safety, if he enters in our world, actually if he dies and he's buried in the soil, buried in the earth, then there'll be a great harvest. You and I can have life with God. And so the shocking thing Jesus says is that the path to life actually comes through dying, as Jesus dies for you and for me. Last week, Emily and I, part of our time in the Gold Coast, wasn't just to hang out at the beach and notice how tanned everyone was. We were actually helping a local church up there, and we were running a holiday kids club. And one day, a little girl in primary school, who had never been to church before, but she'd been invited along, she came up and asked a great question. She said, if you guys are so religious, why do you keep talking about death? In her mind, religion and death, you know, real people understand that life's complicated and messy and death's required, but religious people, they kind of ignore all those things. And we might add another question to that question. Why was it necessary for Jesus to die in order for us to have life with God? What does death have to do with it all? Well, the Bible's answer is that our disregard for God actually means that we're naturally on the path to death. You might think, disregard for God? No, I'm a pretty nice person. You know, some of us might, you know, actually say, stuff you, God, I don't want you to have anything to do with me and my family. I can do it myself. But I think for most of us, that's not how we disregard God. It's just as we get on the treadmill of life and don't give any thought to our Creator. And the Bible says that that means that every single one of us, myself included, and you, we're all naturally on the path to death. And that is why Jesus couldn't just stay up in heaven. That is why God, in his great love, sent his Son into this world to die, that he would take the path of death that we deserve, so that we could have the path of life, relationship with God, that Jesus deserves. And so it wasn't enough just for Jesus to be a good teacher. That's, you know, if you ask the average Joe in Australia, hey, what do you reckon about Jesus? You know, there's a few fiery atheists, made up, no such thing. But most people, you know, every historian you talk to, you know he's a real person. But they just put him in the box of maybe he's just a nice teacher. Like, well, if you're like me and you've been listening to some Jordan Peterson over the last few years, he's really big about Jesus being this archetypal figure, this kind of great myth that taps into something true in humanity. Or maybe people might say, Jesus, he's an enlightened guru. He said things that no ordinary person can say. And those things may be true, but they're all too small. Actually, in order for you to have life with God, that was enough for Jesus to be a good teacher, an enlightened guru, an archetypal myth. He actually had to come physically into this world and die. That's what Jesus is saying. The path to life comes in Jesus dying for you. And isn't that wonderful news? That whatever your background, whether there's things in the past that you're ashamed of or things that you're proud of, whatever your ethnicity, whatever your age, however much money you have in your bank balance, Jesus died for you so that you could have life with God. It's only in Jesus dying. And that man who I talked to in the Gold Coast, Herman, he was a nice guy. I'm sure on all counts, he is a good bloke. But the sad reality is that as we kept talking, it became very obvious that he wasn't on the path to life. Because as I asked him, where does Jesus' death fit into your path to heaven? He said, oh, I don't really need that. I'm just a good guy. I keep the Ten Commandments. And so the tragic reality is that Herman is not on the path to life because he is not trusting in God's solution that he may have life. That unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, there can be no harvest. Unless Jesus came into this world and died, there's no way we can go to heaven. And so today, as Ez said, we could call today Bleak Friday, Sad Friday, Bad Friday, because the Easter story is about the one true innocent person who deserves to have life actually dying. And yet today is Good Friday because there's a great harvest because he died. But there's a second twist to what Jesus says. In verse 25 and 26, he says that Good Friday isn't just about one death. Good Friday is actually about two deaths. There's a surprising twist. It's actually not just about Jesus dying for you, but about you dying for Jesus. Have a look at verse 25 and verse 26. Jesus says, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. The surprising twist in what Jesus says is that Easter isn't just about his death. Actually, the path to life is also about your death. That first and foremost, Jesus dies for you, but in response, you die for Jesus. One option is to live for this world. Think of the things that we daydream about, our kids, our garden, our holidays, our job. You can live for this life, but Jesus says in the end, whoever loves his life will lose it. In the end, all the things that we find most precious in this life, the thousands of dollars we spend on this life, those things won't last. Even the sturdiest concrete slab that you put down in your place, one day that's going to be dug up. But the alternative is to not love the things of this world most, but to love and to serve and to follow Jesus instead. And the promise is that if that is the case, then we will have eternal life, that we'll be able to keep our life, keep the things that we find most precious. And it's a beautiful thought. I love those final few words that describe those who serve Jesus. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. What beautiful words are they? If anyone serves Jesus, my Father will honor him. I don't know what your childhood was like, what your dad was like, but the normal way things work is that you got to honor your dad. When he raises his voice and tells you to go and clean up your room, you go and do it. And there's something right about that. There's something good. But here it says, if anyone serves Jesus, the Father will honor you. The God of the universe will honor those who live for Jesus. And so for some of us who are Christian, some of you have greatly suffered in your life serving Jesus. Ridicule from a spouse or from a family member. Or not being able to share Jesus with your grandkids. Financial troubles, relational troubles. And one day when Jesus returns, not only will you honor the Father, but the Father will honor you. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And so today can be viewed as Bad Friday. That as you die to this world, you give up living for the things that we find most precious in the here and now. But it's Good Friday because we're living for something more, something that will last, life with God for eternity. Firstly, the path of life comes in Jesus dying for you. And secondly, the path to life comes in you dying for Jesus. Or to put it another way, the path to life comes through two deaths, Jesus dying for this world, and then you no longer living for this world, but living for the one who died for you. And so can I ask you this morning, what is the path to life that you're currently on? What are you working towards, and how are you going to get there? Jesus presents far more than a nice house now, tan skin, toned muscles. Jesus presents life with God for eternity. That's what's on offer. But it comes at great cost, doesn't it? The path to life actually comes through dying. The Ten Commandments are good. Lots that we can learn from them. But if you follow them, and there is no death of Jesus, that is not the path to life. Actually, Jesus called us to die. Firstly, to put our trust in him dying for us, but then to die, to live our life for him. The path to life is costly, but it's absolutely worthwhile. Up here on the screen is a dear family friend, David and his wife, Jenny. And Emily and I had the privilege of popping into their place in Armidale on the drive home from the Gold Coast 2 days ago. And David has lived a very, very hard life. He's been bedbound for many decades. And atop that, his children have had their own intense health struggles. Things that aren't curable in this life. But the shocking thing that Emily and I experienced when we just spent about an hour with David and Jenny is that incredibly, they weren't bitter. You think of all the people in life to be bitter, they deserve to be bitter. But no, they actually were incredibly hopeful. Because the life that they're living for is not to have a well-functioning body here and now. The life that they're living for is life with God, and that will last for eternity. That the path might be rocky, but the destination is worth it. That's the impression that we got from Dave and Jenny. And so for many of us, we fear death. We long to cling on to our experiences here and now. But for David, he is longing for that day when he can be with Jesus and all the promises in the Bible that there will be no more tears, that the lame will leap for joy. They're the promises that David finds most precious to him. The things in this life, they come and go, but life with God lasts for eternity. The path to life firstly comes in Jesus dying for you, and in response, you dying for Jesus. That we don't live for a cruel God, a God who has a fancy red cape and demands us to be his footstools. We live for a God who first died for us. That's the God who is worth giving up your life for. And so can I ask you this morning, just to finish, what is the path to life that you're currently on? Jesus offers life in eternity with God, and he lays it out here in John 12. What's the path there? Is that the path that you're on? As we remember Jesus' death today, wouldn't it be a great day if some of you aren't on that path to make it the day that you die, to no longer live for this world, but to live for Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful if this anniversary that we celebrate every year as a nation could be the anniversary of you giving your life to Jesus for the first time? If you realize that that's you, I'd be delighted to talk to you over a hot cross bun afterwards. But first, I'm going to thank God and finish in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the opportunity just to stop for a moment this morning and remember Jesus. Thank you that he didn't stay up in heaven preserving his own life, but that he came down into this world, that he died, that he was buried in the earth for us. We pray that anyone here this morning that isn't currently on the path to life with you would make that right this Easter. And we do long for the day when Jesus comes back, when all that is wrong with this world, all our broken bodies will be made right, and we will enjoy that life with you for eternity. Amen.